Amen, and good morning, GBF. Everyone be seated this morning. We have an awesome service planned today, and we get the privilege of starting a service with baptism. There's nothing I would rather do more than start a service with baptism. And so I'm going to call these. Keith, if you'll hand me that first one, please, sir. Thanks for getting your glasses. That just reminded me I need mine. So I'm going to call them up one at a time. No, that's two different people. Thank you, sir. All right, Mason, you come on up, please, sir. Dad, you help him up here, please. This is Mason Ward, following the Lord in baptism today. Mason, let Brad help you in there. Brad, he's going to sit here and go back that way. So come around to the other side right here. There you go. Now sit down on that block. Oop, it's floating away. There you go. Just like that. You remember how I told you to hold your hands when you got in there? Perfect. Awesome. Good for you. All right. Mason says, I want to be close with God and not have all my sin washed away. I want to be the best Christian I can be. Amen. Mason, have you asked Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Lord and Savior? Yes, then it's my privilege, my little brother in Christ, to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. Things wanting to float away on me today. All right. Madison, you come on up, please, ma'am. Thank you. All right, sit down there just like brother did. There you go. Madison says, I have already accepted Jesus into my heart. Now I want to show everyone that I've been saved. Amen. That's what baptism's all about. And I want to follow God's path for my life. Amen? Amen? Madison, have you accepted Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Then it's my privilege, my little sister in the Lord, to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, buried with Him in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. Number four, Mom. Hannah? Come on, number three, sorry. Y'all know my math. My kids have teased me for years that I always hold up the wrong number when I say, well, my third point is, they're like, Dad, you never get that right. All right, Hannah says, as a kid, my parents told me to believe in God, but I never learned what that meant. As an adult, I always wanted to learn more about Him. I am so blessed for everyone in my life that has helped me grow stronger in my faith, and I'm thankful for my relationship with Jesus, and I want my children to see Christ living through me. Amen? Amen. Hannah, have you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. Then it's my privilege, my sister in Christ, to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Him in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. Love that. All right, Madeline Chandler. Hey, Brad, will you? Oh, there you go. Thanks. All right. Madeline says, I am ready to accept God's calling on my life because I have felt His grace every single day and stand in amazement of the new life and purpose He has given me. God has an intimate knowledge of who I am, and so I will listen to who He says I am. Amen. Awesome. I will live for His approval alone by showing this act of obedience in baptism. I hope to use this opportunity as an outward expression of my faith. I've been praying about finding the right time, and I feel like God is calling me to this now. Amen. Madeline, have you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Then it's my privilege, my little sister in Christ, to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, buried with Him in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. All right, Clint Rainwater. Many of you have asked me how long I'm going to hold him under. Why is that, Clint?
We could have did the ice bath. Yeah.
Clint says, I have a really strong calling to be baptized. I've tried life on my own, and I enjoy it so much more with Jesus. My family is and will be a God-loving family. Being the leader, I need to show them the path. Amen?
Amen.
Awesome testimony. Clint, have you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Then it's my privilege, my brother in Christ, to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Him in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. All right, Andy. Come on up, sir. This is Andy Peterson. Andy says, I gave my life to Christ at 15, 16 years old. Despite poor choices, battles with addiction, cancer, divorce, God never left my side and carried me through it all. Today, I'll honor my commitment to Him and my dedication to the God that I owe it all to. Praise and glory to Him. Amen. Andy, have you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Then it's my privilege, my brother in Christ, to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, buried with Him in baptism, we have that card. Well, good morning and happy anniversary, GBF. Today is our 10-year anniversary. We have a lot of neat people going to share some things with you guys today. I want to thank everyone who helped make this happen. Many of you have been up here all weekend with Andrew and I, helping pull things together, helping get ready for this, and so I want to thank you for that. You'll notice in your bulletin, and you'll hear about it again, and even see it in videos, about the ministry, some of the ministries, we couldn't get them all in there, and the missions that GBF supports. You can read about those in detail in that little insert in your bulletin a little bit later on. But for right now, I want to show a quick Fellowship of Christian Students video that the kids put together. That's one of the ministries that GBF supports, and it started with about 5 students several years ago. My son Jake and Blake Hiles came to me one day, and they said, Pastor Chris, we want to make a difference. We want to leave something with our school. They were seniors. We want to do something and leave something that can help change people's lives and make a difference for the kingdom of God. We started FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. These kids came to me a couple of years ago And they said, can we call it Fellowship of Christian Students so it's not just about athletes? And I said, man, I think that's a great idea. Coach Thornton loved it, so we went with it. Now it's Fellowship of Christian Students. And as you can see, we've gone from five to a full room every Tuesday that we have Fellowship of Christian Students. And so I want to thank all of you teenagers for doing such a great job, especially those of you who are in leadership in that cool ministry that we have. All right, we always do one thing at GBF on Sunday morning. We need to get our hearts and our minds ready to worship. Amen? Amen. So you bow with me this morning. We come in here to this room with many things going on. And singing songs is not necessarily worship. That can be just doing church, playing church. Singing songs where you mean every word that you sing from the bottom of your heart is true worship. That's worship in spirit and in truth. And so that's what we want to focus on right now. Ask the Lord this morning, everyone in here, take a moment and ask the Lord to help you worship Him today in spirit and in truth. And then ask Him to let you be God. Say, Father, I want to let you be God today. So I'm going to take all the stuff that's going on in my life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and for the next hour, I'm going to lay it at your feet. For the next hour, I'm going to let you be God. And I'm just going to spend this hour loving you. I'm going to spend this hour worshiping you and praising you. And Lord, my prayer is that as I continue to sing, every word of every song would be a praise offering to you. As people give up and give testimony to what you've done at our church, Lord, I pray that you will receive honor and you will receive glory. And Father, today we pray for these children, these teenagers, these adults that are going to come up here on this stage and lead us in worship. And may you use them in a powerful way to help us see you and experience you and to glorify you this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for all the things that you have done over the past 10 years. This has never been our church. It's always been your church. And Lord, that's our purpose and our priority, to know you and make you known. That's why we're here. And we don't have the right to be here. It's a privilege to be here and worship our Lord and Savior today. And we pray all these things in His precious name, our Lord and Savior.
All right. Good morning, church family. We are excited to be here. Thank you for your patience. The boys and girls over the past several weeks have been talking about what it means to thrive. Our shirts on the front say that I was made to thrive. Thrive means to grow or develop very vigorously. We have a lot of vigor in the Summit. I want you all to know that. So I have several of the students that are going to share with you what it means to thrive. So, Liam.
For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. My name is Liam Hiltz. I'm 6 years old, and I was made to thrive.
Very good.
For God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not die but live forever. John 3:16. My name is Madison Ward. I'm 11 years old, and I was made to thrive.
I was not made to play video games all day. My name is Jackson Binfer. I'm 8 years old, and I was made to thrine.
Hello, my name is Turner O'Neill. I'm 9 years old, and I was made to read my Bible, go to church, and pray. I was made to thrive.
All right, we have chosen a song to sing for you this morning. It's called I Will. This song is about the Great Commission, and this is one of the ways we are choosing to thrive. The Great Commission teaches us, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. The words are going to be up on the screen, and you're welcome to join us, but these wonderful, beautiful children are thriving each and every day. So they were created for so much more than just an ordinary life. They were created to thrive. Ready? Okay. Bella.
Sharing your like a tree planted by the water, we never will run dry. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to know.
Okay, this works. All right, I'm going to be reading the church history of GBF. Thank you. All right. 10 years ago today marks the date of the first church service of Grace Bible Fellowship of HICO. But our heritage doesn't begin there. It started thousands of years ago when God created the heavens and the earth. From there, God chose the Israelites to serve as God's chosen people to share with all creation that God was the one true God. In the New Testament, God sent his only son, Jesus, to serve as the savior of this world and charged the first New Testament church to teach the gospel to all the world. Now it is over 2,000 years later, and Grace Bible Fellowship began with four families praying in their living room to begin a non-denominational church in Hyco. The very first service was on Valentine's Day of 2010. The first service was held in the Hyco Community Center. We had no idea if anyone would come, but they did. For 6 months, we met at the community center, but our time ran out. Thankfully, our local ISD allowed us to meet in their old elementary building for another 6 months. For a year, we would load up sound equipment, a children's play area, discipleship materials, and spend time on Sunday morning loading and unloading our cars and trucks to have church. If anyone remembers meeting in the community center or school auditorium, would you please stand? Thank you. That first year, our Easter celebration, baptisms, ice cream socials, and harvest festival were held on individual homesteads and ranches. Since we didn't have a building, we began to pray about how to disciple our children and youth. We decided to hold an after-school Bible study on Wednesdays, and our Hyco ISD agreed to allow the children to ride the bus to Bible study as long as it was on an already scheduled bus stop. Thankfully, Pastor Chris's house was already on a route, so every Wednesday the children would ride to the bus out on Highway 220 and meet for Bible study every Wednesday. It was so fun watching 12 to 15 children get off the bus and play at the Irvin's house. In addition to Bible study, the children would hike 1 mile to a place we called Memory Island. Matt Hiltz would take the lead since he wasn't afraid of snakes. They would cross over to the island via a telephone pole and sit on the ground in trees and in chairs from the old Texas Ranger Stadium placed there by James and Sheila Fuller and practice their memory verses for the week. We have very fond memories of Memory Island. If anyone remembers Memory Island, would you please stand? In 2012, God provided us with this beautiful building in downtown Hyco. We held a clean out the new church building party, and by our first anniversary, we were in the building. It was in terrible shape, but that didn't matter. God's church is more than a building. We began renovations in 2012, and over the next 10 years, we renovated in three separate phases as we outgrew our existing space. Phase one was our worship center and preschool wing. Phase two was the kitchen area and back hallway and storage. And phase three was our summit wing. Somewhere in between phase two and three, we expanded the worship center with the barn door addition. If you have been involved in the construction and cleaning in this building, would you please stand? Thank you. Looking back, we have met in the community center, the elementary school, the park, the island, in living rooms, and now here. We have studied God's word both collectively and individually. We have built churches, shared the gospel, worked disaster relief in Haiti, Belize, Nepal, Louisiana, Missouri, Alaska, and Texas. We have adopted children from all over the world through Compassion International, Samaritan's Purse Ministries, and Hope International in Africa. We support the Helping Hands of Hyco, Choices Pregnancy Center, Hamilton United Care, and the Hyco Community Kids Christmas Fund. We support Adult Teen Challenge to help those with addictions. We continue to disciple others through Vacation Bible School, mission trips, Good News Club, Journey Groups, Fellowship of Christian Students, and weekly worship services. We have celebrated new families moving to the area, graduated 10 senior classes, married many couples, and rejoiced with many new babies, not to mention purchasing many packages of diapers. What a blessing. If you have served by supporting these ministries at Grace Bible Fellowship, would you please stand? Thank you. The greatest blessing witnessed by Grace Bible Fellowship is baptism. Matthew 28:19, Jesus says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." What a blessing to see those baptized. If you have been baptized in the past 10 years by Grace Bible Fellowship, would you please stand? Thank you. So today, we give God all the glory as we celebrate our spiritual heritage and look forward to the many years to come. Grace Bible Fellowship, you were made to thrive. Thank you.
I kind of knew that was going to happen, though, so that's great. We're just going to turn the phone. That's wonderful. Okay, so I'm going to be reading the purpose and mission statement. The purpose of Grace Bible... Okay, we're good. The purpose of Grace Bible Fellowship of HICO is to know God and make Him known by celebrating God's presence through worship, communicating God's message through evangelism, educating God's people through discipleship, and demonstrating God's love through ministry, and incorporating God's family through fellowship. The basis of our mission statement comes from two key scriptures, the Great Commission, which reads, "Jesus said, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind.' This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, 'Love your neighbor as yourself.' All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments," Matthew 22:36-40. And the second is the Great Commission, which reads, "Jesus said, 'Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded.'" Matthew 22:19-20. Okay, that's... That's rough.
All right, so me and Hayden, we're here to do GBF fun facts. So those of you who don't know, my name is Ryan Irvin. I've been at GBF since day one. I'll be graduating in May and headed to the University of Oklahoma in the fall. So fun fact number one. Did you know that the very first worship service was held in the HICO Community Center? The music was led by Becky Irvin and Caitlin Lee, with Shelley Stegall working the projector and slides. Jake Irvin was the first sound technician. We had a shoebox that was decorated as our offering box, and we had a journal on the table to record the attendance. This first day reminds us that anyone can serve the Lord no matter what their age.
All right, y'all. My name is Hayden Entz, and I've been at GBF also since day one. I'll be graduating in May, and I'm going to Blinn College. Thank you. Did you know that when we first purchased this building, the texture on the original wall was peeling, and it was in the shape of a cross, which is in that back corner over there? Y'all should check it out when y'all leave. It's pretty cool. We decided to leave it instead of covering it up. This reminds us that no matter how badly something may look, the love of the cross always makes it beautiful.
Did you know that the worship center and the preschool wing were Blair's hardware store that served the community for HICO many of years? The Summit Wing was an auto repair shop called Moonshine Automotive. Kind of ironic, if you ask me. The buildings have been vacant for several years and in terrible condition until we purchased them in 2012. These beautiful renovations remind us that Jesus sees our lives as beautiful restoration of the mess we once lived in.
Did you know that when we poured the concrete floor, we placed in the floor a replica of the wooden cross that is hanging behind us This signifies that our foundation is built on Jesus Christ.
Just another fun fact on that. If you'll go back at that poster, you can see some of the verses. Me and Hayden's actually, and just don't look at the spelling. We were young. Don't worry about it. Did you know that the cross behind us was from our first Easter service held in this building? Each person placed a nail in the cross, reminding us of the price Jesus paid on the cross for our sin.
Did you know that we have baptized in a horse trough at the Hughes' house, the swimming pool at the Irvins and the Steagalls, the ocean in Belize, and the lake in Alaska? Several of these baptisms had very cold water, asked Carson Zan about Alaska, yet no one ever backed out. The baptism water reminds us of the new life of Christ.
All right, there are your Grace Bible Fellowship fun facts. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, then we'll continue in worship. Father, I come to you today. Lord, I just want to thank you for all that you've done for this church, Lord. I just want to thank you for the opportunity to attend a church that doesn't care about what the world thinks, but it's just focused on delivering your word, Lord. We thank you for all of the people that have helped this church be possible, Lord. And we just pray that in many, many years to come, Lord, this church will just continue to serve you, Lord, and glorify you. Pray all these things in your name. Amen.
All right, so typically with everything else going on, we would not introduce a new song on a Sunday like this, but we're doing that. So this one, I heard this last week, and I texted Chris about it. I said, this is great. It's very simple to follow, but it has the message that we all want to live out. When we walk out of this building, what this song describes is exactly what we want to focus on as we go throughout our day. So y'all go ahead and stand with me. Very easy to follow. You'll see.
I've tried in vain a thousand ways, my fears to quell, my hope to raise. But what I need, your word has said, is ever only Jesus. You died, you live, you reign, you plead. There's love in all your words and deeds. This weary heart finds all it needs in ever only Jesus. I want to know you, Jesus my Lord, King of the heavens, King of my soul. I take my treasure. Some should curse me for your name. I have no fear, I have no shame. You stand with me for all my days, my ever only Jesus. I want to know you, Jesus, my Lord, King of the heavens. So I take my treasure and all my rewards, Jesus, to know you, then know you more. Like wave after wave on the ocean, like all of the sand on the shores, your beauty and glory are endless. Oh Jesus, I must know you more. Like wave after wave on the ocean, like all of the sand on the shore,
Jesus, I must know you more. I want to know you, Jesus, my Lord, King of the heavens, King of my soul. I trade my treasure and all my
there's a grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. And when I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire standing next to me. Was another in the waters, holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding how I've been set free? There is a cross that bears the burden, where another died for me. There's another in the fire. All my debt left for debt beneath the waters. I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. Should I fall in the space between what remains of me and this reckoning? By the way, I won't bow to the things of this world. And I know I will never be another in the fire standing next to me. There is another in the waters holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding what power set me free? There is a grave that holds nobody, and now the power lives in me. There is another in the fire. Oh, 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 and I can see the light in the darkness. As the darkness bows to him, I can hear the roar in the heavens. As the space between where sin, I can feel the ground shake beneath us. As the prison walls cave in, nothing stands between us. Nothing stands between us. There is no other name but the name that is Jesus. He who was and still is and will be through it all. So come on in the space between all the things unseen and this reckoning. I know I will never be alone. I know I will never be alone. There'll be another in the fire standing next to me. There'll be another in the waters holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding how good you've been to me, I'll count the joy from every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be. And I can see the light in the darkness as the darkness passes you in. I can hear the roar in the heavens as the space between wasted. I can feel the ground shake beneath us as the prison walls cave in. Nothing stands between us. Nothing stands between. There'll be another in the fire standing next to me. There'll be another in the waters holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding how good you've been to me, I'll count the joy from every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be.
Father, we thank you so much for guiding us through this process. God, 10 years of being able to look back and say that you've been faithful, that if we just pay attention, if we just dive into your word daily and walk with you, that you'll lead us in the way you want us to go. You'll show us where we need to be working and what we need to be doing. And Father, I thank you for that kind of legacy for this church family, that it's not about any person in this church, but that we do our best to point to Jesus Christ in everything. Whether it's this building, the things that we go out and serve, whatever we're doing, I pray that we continue to let you be the center of it all. So Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the immeasurable blessings, so many that we cannot count. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Shelley Stegall. I, too, have been here since day one and beyond. Chris asked me to share a little bit of testimony just about the beginning and, you know, kind of what this church has meant to me and to my family. And so I'll just give you a little background on me. I was raised in a wonderful Christian home. I mean, I have the two best Christians on the planet are my parents. There's no doubt about it. And we were in church. We were church people. If the doors were open, we were there. It did not matter if it was a revival. It didn't matter if it was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, Sunday afternoon. And half the time on Sunday night, the church came home with us and had supper. I will never know how we lived 45 miles from a grocery store and my mom could still whip out a meal for 30 people like that. So we were church people. We were involved in everything, and that's how I grew up, and that's how I've always been. Any church since Brad and I got married that we've been a part of, I have jumped in. You need somebody for this committee, what do you need? Personnel committee, I'll do it. Just don't ask me to decorate. Please don't ask me to decorate. I don't want to be on that committee. But I was, you know, the type of person that was just how I was raised. When the church needed something, I stepped in, children's ministry, youth ministry, whatever it was. And it's wonderful. It was a wonderful way of life for us, and it was wonderful for me. But I reached the point where I started to realize that everyone has a worship means something different to everyone. It is personal. It is, you have to find the place that works for you to serve. And as I'm going through this and talking to you about kind of the realization that Brad and I had, I want to make sure you understand that I am not being negative about any other type of service, any other type of church. I am telling you what this meant personally to me. I'm not speaking for anyone else. I'm telling you what this meant for my family. And we were in a situation before this church started where I was on multiple committees in the church. I was helping in multiple areas, doing multiple things, and frankly, I was worn smooth out. I was worn out. There, it was not, oh, let's go to church. We're doing this. It was, all right, let's do this. We can do this. And that was just me personally. That works for a lot of people. It still works for my mom. I don't know how she does it, but it works for her. But we were just at the point where it was a lot. And, you know, I've come to this verse, Isaiah 26:3. It says, "You, Lord, give perfect peace to those who keep their purpose firm and put their trust in you." And the peace is what was missing. The peace and worship was what was missing for me. I still had a strong relationship with God. We were still leading our family spiritually. And it was things were going really well, but just in that area, I was really struggling. That peace wasn't there. So when the four couples that started meeting together and really praying about not just what we needed, but a need in our community, we were just like, we're missing something. There is some need in this community that God is ready to do, and He's going to use us to do it. We just don't know what it is. Well, all these years that I've been, you know, dragging everybody to church and doing all of that, I also was praying very, very vehemently for Brad to become the spiritual leader in our family. Because I was the control freak. I mean, we're going to do it my way. This is how I was raised. This is how we're doing it. Let's go. But I wanted him to take the lead. So we're meeting, we're praying, we're trying to decide, and Brad says, "I think we need to start a church in Hyco." So I'm looking at him in amazement, and I go, "You don't have a clue what you're talking about. You have no idea how hard this is going to be. You think you can just say, 'Hey, let's start a church,' and it's going to happen?" I am certain that God looked down on me and wanted to smack me across the back of the head and go, "Girl, you have been praying for this for 20 years, and here he's stepping up, and you're shooting him down." So I had to have a little come to Jesus meeting there, you know, and realize that. But that is exactly what happened. I mean, Brad and these other men took the lead. We wives stood behind them and just prayed, and I didn't do anything. And you know what? Here's the crazy thing. It was that easy. It was that easy. It was hard work, but it was easy because we didn't have to do anything. God did all of this. We just had to get out of His way. And so when I look back over the last 10 years, I cannot tell you the impact this has had on me personally, on my marriage, on our community. The purpose of Grace Bible Fellowship was not to go recruit a whole bunch of people and let's make a big church. It was, let's find people who aren't going to church and figure out why they're not going to church. And let's create a place where they feel comfortable worshiping. And so we read the book, The Simple Church, and that's what we are. We are a simple church. You're not going to sign up for a committee. Someone this morning said, "I really love to help in the kitchen, and I would love to help do this. How do I do it?" And I said, "You show up and do it." There's no one in charge. There are people that we always know are going to show up for the food, but anybody can do it. This is a church where your mission, your gifts, you can find a place to serve. And you don't have to ask permission to do it. You don't have to sign up for a committee. You just show up and do it. It's simple. And one great thing about it, too, is you know that if today you're not feeling it, if you just don't feel like that is where you need to serve, there's going to be 20 other people who are going to feel it. God has worked that out. There has never been anything that has happened in this church that happened because we called and appointed people to do it. It's because people just showed up. And so, you know, when I think about Grace Bible Fellowship and the simplicity of it, our church is just as simple as its name. We show grace, and I truly believe that. That grace is abounding in this church. We are a Bible church. We believe in the Bible, and Chris, oh my goodness, I could stand up here for hours and go on about Chris, but I know you already know that, so I won't even step into that, because then I will start crying. So, but Chris and Andrea, just the Bible teachers that they are, so we have grace, Bible, and then we have fellowship. We are going to love on you. You are going to love on us. We are going to help each other, our journey groups, through everything that we do. And like I said, it's not hard. It's not hard. I thought it was hard. It's not hard. It can be easy and it can be simple. So I praise the Lord for Grace Bible Fellowship. I praise the Lord for Chris and Andrea and their leadership. And I praise the Lord for my husband and the other men who were willing to step up and go, we will do this, and God's going to lead us the way, and holy moly, look at us now. It's amazing. So thank you.
My name is John White, and this is my wife, Beverly. How do you follow that is what I want to know. Anyway, we came here five years ago. We came from the Metroplex, north of the Metroplex, from a small community, Anna, which was kind of like Hyco at the time, but it began growing and growing and growing, and we said, you know, we need some air. Why we ended up in Hyco, I don't have a clue. We were driving down the road one day, and we saw a house that we wanted, and that's why we stopped, I guess. I don't know. God had something to do with it. I understand that part, but I still don't understand how we ended up here. But there's a couple of reasons what we love about this. Once we walked through those doors, we were family. We never felt like a visitor. I never felt uncomfortable at all, and everybody just opened their arms and invited us to come in. I mean, how do you resist that? I've never stepped into another church, and I don't have any problem with any of the other churches, but we never stepped into another church because we knew we were home. I really don't. It's just a God thing is what it was. But there's a couple of things that really draw us to this church. I mean, there's a lot of things. But first of all, we understand. We raised five kids, so we understand the importance of supporting the youth. And when you walk through the door there, you'll see a lot of pictures, and most of them are from the young people. And I really give a lot of credit to Matt and his team and Andrea and all of them, you know, James Fuller, all of you guys, and everybody else that I don't even know. But thank you for what you do with these kids, because that's very important. And that's the future, and that's the guys that are, and girls that are going to be but this church will thrive because of that. And I can't tell you how blessed you as parents, and I know you're involved, and the school's involved, and the youth committee here, and obviously Chris, but you have a really good team, and they're just well respected. They well respect all of us, and it's just a great future. I can tell you that. And then finally, Beverly and I, we memorized books our entire life. We're in the medical field, and we had to learn stuff. But there was always an anomaly. There was always something different that we found inside that body that didn't follow the book. Well, there's no anomalies in that book right there. And that's what Chris preaches, and you know this. That's what he preaches every day or every Sunday or whatever. But there's no anomaly in that book right there. There's an anomaly in me, maybe, but there's not in this book. And you can follow it, and it is the truth. And the theme is always the same. It's about that cross and what Jesus Christ did for you and I.
I'm Beverly, and one of the things I wanted to talk about was journey group. And I always tell people on Sunday, you see all of us here, and we enjoy seeing each other for brief moments. But until you join a journey group, that is when you start fellowshipping with each other. You start growing together. You start supporting each other. And I look out across here and I see different people that I've gotten to be in journey groups with. And I just encourage each one of you to step out of your comfort zone, show up at a journey group, and you can still do it. You don't have to wait till next fall. Just fall in with the group. Just say, hey, can I come over? But you eat together, you worship together, you fellowship together. I know now that I could call most any of you guys out here. I really believe I could call you and you'd be at my side for whatever reason. A tire blown out on 281 to, you know, a medical need or whatever. I feel that kind of closeness with everybody. And whether I know your name or not, sometimes I don't know your name and I feel bad that I don't get to see you on a regular basis like today to be able to go and talk to you. But I know you in my heart and I know Jesus put us here. It wasn't a mistake. We got over here. We know it's not a mistake. And we prayed about it. We just knew that we had to make a change. And boy, did he make a great change for us. So thank y'all so much for letting us be a part of this family.
I'm Adam Green. This is my wonderful bride, Courtney. But we started GVF back in late 2010, and it wasn't, it was just, like John said, the instant we walked in, it was it was like family, incredibly welcoming, and we had visited other churches that were, there was nothing wrong with them, but we just didn't feel the connection, and within the first minute of being in the doors at the old auditorium, we knew that this was our family. We did have a pretty traumatic life event shortly after that in summer 2011. We ended up moving away for a few years, and Chris had asked me, you know, what was it about GBF that when y'all did come back, that you decided to come back to GBF? And I said, well, we came back to GBF. HICO just happened to be where it was at. And so that was the hardest part about leaving, was leaving this church family. And it was a very big desire of ours to get back as quickly as possible. It's that way. We feel like family. It's not about what we can get up here and do for the church and do for other people, but we draw from everybody and we need everybody here, and it's just a big family, and we sure appreciate and love everybody.
Like Adam said, we had left and come back to HICO, and between those two seasons for us, we snuck over here a few Sundays just to visit. They were kind of moving into this new building, so we'd come and see what progress was made. And we were sitting right about over here next to Neil and Mama Irv. And I remember this was probably a year before we moved back the second time. And Neil reached over and squeezed my shoulders, and he said, "Welcome home, girl." And that was so hard to hear because that's exactly what it felt like. But we were going to have to leave that Sunday. And I probably couldn't have told you right then why this place felt like home, but having left and come back for some time, the best I could say it is, like Adam said, we've been to some great churches and we've met great people who are doing great things. But when you walk into a church and everybody's trying to do as much as they can and meet as many needs as they can and be everything for everybody and do it all in the shiniest way so that visitors want to come back again next Sunday, that feels really good for a time, but they're still just people who, you know, fall short and disappoint. And if I come here and I'm trying to do as much as I can and say the right things, I'm going to disappoint probably myself before I even get around to disappointing everybody else. But Adam and I have felt here that we were supported and encouraged to pursue our own relationship with Christ first as individuals and then as a couple. And then when you're following that and you're chasing and pursuing what God has for you and his promises and purposes for you, then you don't have to be everything to everybody else, and they don't have to be everything to you. I just get to enjoy all these people who are doing that exact same thing. They're just pursuing Christ for themselves and their own lives, and we just get to kind of enjoy each other in that whole process, and he just uses it. And then those people that were there setting up church at the auditorium 10 years ago or 9 and a half, they didn't even know it, but they were exactly what we needed right when we needed it, because God knew what he needed them to be doing. And they just got up that Sunday and the next Sunday and the next Sunday and did it. And they changed our family's life forever because they did it that Sunday. So I think that's why it was different.
I want to share something with you this morning. And when we first started GBF, a man came to me and said, we're giving you 1 year. This church might last a year. And that's what folks are telling me. And my response was, well, I can see why they would say that. I mean, 80% of all church starts fail within the first year. And but here we are 10 years later, and I had nothing to prove to anybody. All we wanted to do was be who God called us to be. And so here we are 10 years later. I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles just for a few minutes. Philippians chapter 2, because what I want to show you straight from God's Word is why I believe we're here 10 years later. And I'm only going to take a few minutes. But we're here because God had a purpose for this church. And God is putting together a family that he's using to change lives. You've witnessed that today as we baptized 6 people. But God is putting together a family, and the reason that you felt like you needed to be here was because God was leading you here. And God was saying, this is where I want you to be. So Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says this: therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion. Look back at the phrase, fellowship of the Spirit. That's GBF. We have incredible fellowship here. People tell me that all the time on a weekly basis. GBF is a church where the truth is taught. In other words, we hold tight to God's Word, not just in what we teach, but in what we do, how we function, and how we operate. We hold tight to the Word of God. And people sense the Holy Spirit at work. I get told that on a regular basis. Now look at verse 2. Then make me truly happy, Paul says, by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. That's GBF. We may not agree with each other on every little detail, but we agree wholeheartedly that it's all about Jesus Christ and not about us. In fact, one of the things we talk about in GBF 101 class is that you don't have a right to be here. It's a privilege. Jesus Christ paid an incredible price. And so to be a member of GBF is a privilege. And the people that go through that class and sign on the dotted line, I want to be a member of GBF, they agree to some amazing things. They agree to be held accountably spiritually by the rest of you, by their body. They agree to always promote unity and harmony in the body. And that's who we are. We may not agree on every detail, but we agree wholeheartedly that it's all about Jesus Christ. Amen? It's not about you and I. And we agree that loving one another and working together with one mind and one purpose is much more important than everything being done my way or your way. Amen? Amen. We've been doing this for 10 years now. The question is, can we keep doing it? Can we keep it? We've had this amazing harmony that people talk to me about and this amazing fellowship that people talk to me about. We've been doing it for 10 years. Can we keep it? The reason I say that is because I have been part of churches. Listen to me very closely. Don't miss this. I have been part of churches that throw out unity and harmony over the color of the carpet. And you think I'm making that up? I've been part of one of the greatest churches I was ever part of, threw out unity and harmony because of the color of the carpet. I've seen a church throw out unity and harmony because of the number of trees that were going to be in the new parking lot. One of our dearest deacons in our church went ballistic because he didn't like the number of trees that were going to be in the new parking lot. I've watched followers of Jesus, throw out what is dear to his heart and critical to his kingdom over trivial matters. Because I want what I want. The Bible calls that sin. Self-centeredness. The center of sin is always I. I want what I want. I want to live my own life regardless of what anybody else says. I want to plan my own life. I want to do my own thing. I deserve this or I deserve that. I is the center of sin. Therefore, we must continue to strive for two things. Really, more than that, and you'll see in a minute. But we must continue to strive for humility and harmony if we are going to thrive for the next 10 years. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. How do you know when something is super important to God? Two ways. When God's word mentions it repeatedly over and over, or when Jesus prays about it. And humility and harmony among God's people is seen throughout the Bible. It's seen throughout Scripture. Listen to what Jesus prayed right before he went to the cross. Of all the things he could have prayed about in John chapter 17, listen to what Jesus prayed right before he went to the cross. He prayed this, "Father, I am praying not only for these disciples of mine, these followers of mine, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, may they be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and them in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me." And listen to this. "And so the world will know that you love them as much as you love me." Do you see what's at stake when it comes to unity and harmony and the fellowship of God's church? Jesus says that our unity will be what leads us to know His will and achieve His purpose for His church. And so, how do we hold on to this unity and this harmony that we've just talked about? How do we embrace this unity and harmony and protect it for the next 10 years? Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, "Do not be selfish, be humble." Do not be selfish, be humble. Look at verse 5. Paul says, "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had." Listen to this carefully. "Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. He humbled himself," the Bible says, "even further in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross." Now look back at verse 9 in Philippians 2. "Therefore, Because of his humility and obedience, the Bible says God elevated him to a place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is our purpose, to know God and make him known. And we get there with humility, harmony, and obedience. Listen to this very closely. We get there. We fulfill the purpose that God's given us. We come to know God's will with humility, harmony, and obedience to what we already know God's will to be. Listen, don't miss this. This is super important. You will never find God's will for your life or for this church while simultaneously throwing out what you already know God's will to be. And yet, there are people. I've watched this my whole life. I grew up in church my whole life. There are people who will throw out love, the one thing that we're told to do above all else, Matthew chapter 21, because they are so self-seeking. I've watched people in church business meetings throw out kindness, throw out goodness, throw out gentleness, throw out faithfulness, and throw out self-control, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, just to get their way, just to prove their point. And yet somehow they are still arrogant enough and ignorant enough to actually believe they speak for God, while simultaneously complaining about and arguing with their brothers and sisters in the Lord, disrespecting them and dishonoring them in front of the entire congregation. And still, somehow, they see themselves as the mature believers in the church, thinking nothing of destroying unity and harmony so that they can make sure things are done their way. Look at verse 12. Dear friends, work hard to show the results of your salvation. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear. This is one of the major problems. We do not understand anymore what it means to obey God with deep reverence and fear. We do what we want to do, regardless of whether... Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm a Texan. We do what we want to do. The Bible calls that sin, by the way, when you do what you want to do instead of following God's will. We do.